prayers are going to be answered with a yes is when we're praying God's will. So God's not going to go against his will whenever we pray. And so learning to pray God's will, I think, is one of the most encouraging things that we can learn to do. And today we're going to learn how to pray God's will by actually reading his word. And as we read his word, we're going to see how Paul prayed for the church. And we got to understand what the church is, first of all, in this. We want to make sure that we understand that the church isn't the building. It's not the book that we keep in our filing cabinet that shows, you know, written names of everyone that has joined this physical local body, which I believe that is important, that once we do enter in the true universal church with a capital C, that we do join in and commit to a local fellowship. But the real church is the body of believers who have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, that have entered into the family of God through Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to start out just by inviting anyone here that hasn't yet given their heart to Jesus, that if God is moving your heart, he's convicting you of your own sin, he's showing you that you need salvation, that you need not put it off for another moment. You need to follow God in that. And if you believe that God sent Jesus to die for our sins, because we are all sinners, can we all agree with that? We have all sinned. We have all broken God's commandments and his desire for our lives in some way or another. In fact, I believe we do it daily. And so none of us can save ourselves through our good works, but we need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. He came and lived a perfect life. He never broke the law in any way. And so when he was threatened with this death on the cross, it was not that he had to die for himself, as we all deserve to die, because the wages of sin is death. But, you know, since Jesus was perfect, he could actually give his life as a substitute for our sin. And he could pay for our sin with his life, because he lived a perfect life. And then it was proven to be true on the third day, because he rose from the dead. And if you believe that, and you believe that he's gone back to heaven, and he is sitting by the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for us and preparing a place for all of his children, if you believe that and you trust that, then there's no reason why you shouldn't trust him to be your Lord as well. Lord means boss. It means king. So if you would like to turn your heart over to Jesus, I'd pray that you would just do that today. I can't do that for you. Your wife or your husband can't do that for you. Your children can't do that for you, and you can't do it for them. Your parents can't do it for you. And even those who lived for Christ and died and are already there, they can't do it for you. People put their hope in a lot of vain things. Your good works can't do it for you. Only trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior can save your soul and give you a place in heaven. Now, once you have done that, it starts by saying, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I admit that. I confess that before you. He already knows it, so you're not telling him anything new. But you are taking responsibility at that point and confessing that to him and desiring to repent, and that means turn away from your sin and give your life to Christ. Then he will accept you, and you become part of the family of God at that point. You actually come under Christ's righteousness at that point. He covers you, and he is going to present you before his Father according to his perfection and his righteousness someday, that when the Father sees you, he will see the righteousness of Christ. And that is an amazing gift that he gives us. And in that, he gives us the ability, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So God wants us to come boldly through Jesus. And that doesn't mean proudly. A lot of times we take boldness to mean like being proud. It's not being proud. It's just being willing to approach God. And I can say God is so holy. He is so powerful. He is so amazing. His power and his perfection is so great that if you look throughout the Bible, anytime anyone has ever experienced God or a messenger from God in any way, shape, or form, they fell on their face as though they were dead. because God is so amazing. We will not stand before him proudly, but through Jesus, you can approach his throne. You can approach his throne and bring your request before him, and that throne is a throne of grace through Christ. So I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to get to the section of Scripture here in Ephesians that I'd like to get to today. So let's pray. Dear Father, if there's anyone in this building under the hearing of this message this morning that is now truly realizing that they are a sinner that's destined for hell, then I pray that if they believe in you, Jesus, that if they can trust you, you have given them enough faith to trust you, that they will step out on that faith today, confess you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, that today would be the day that they would be transformed from the kingdom of death to the kingdom of life, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, that they would become part of the capital C church, the body of believers, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and be destined to be in heaven forever with you. Lord, I pray that as they follow you in this step, that, Lord, they would learn that you have much, much more in store for them. That's not the end of the road. For those of us that are still breathing and our hearts still beating and we have confessed Christ, that's only the beginning. And even when we take our last breath, it's still like it's just the beginning, because we have eternity to be with you forever in heaven. How awesome. What a wonderful, gracious gift you've offered us. Please don't let us despise it by returning back to the sins of our former life and trying to indulge in them anymore. Lord, even though we don't become perfect at the moment of salvation, you do intend for us to not return to our old way of life, but to learn how to follow you and become more like Christ each day. So when we realize that we have sinned, help us to be quick to repent again and continue on with you. That is the call of the church. That is the call of the kingdom people, the ones who are yours. And part of that call involves a life of learning to pray and learning to serve, learning to be part of your family, a working, thriving part of your family and of your body. And so, Lord, bless us today. Bless us as we look at your word. Bless us to accept it as the word to us individually, each one of us. And help us to learn from your word today how to pray your heart for your people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, guys, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 14. And some frequent statements that I'll hear from Christians that don't feel like they're growing as fast as they would like to, or maybe haven't grown much. Growing up can be, you know, it's a process, right? So how many of you have small children or have had small children in your home before? They don't pop out knowing how to do everything, right? I mean, like, it's a process. I mean, man, we got to start from square one, right? I mean, we got to teach a child just about everything along the way. And it's an awesome process. And when you're part of that process, I mean, you're just in awe and wonder as you see them discover the next new thing. But what we understand is, whenever you come to Christ, it's called being born again. And so as you're birthed as a new baby Christian, you're not going to know how to do everything. It's going to be a process. And sometimes we can get stalled out in that process. How many of you that have raised children saw that your children got stalled out in part of the process before? And we think, well, they should know how to do that by now. And sometimes we can get stern and everything. Well, I want to assure you, God will be patient with us. So praise God. He's not just sitting up or tapping his toe, getting all aggravated at us. He's not like us in that way. But he does want us to grow. And some of the, you know, a lot of times meeting with different people, some of the most frequent statements that I get from Christians that aren't growing are these three. You know, there's a lot more, but I just really want to deal with these three today because I think this scripture will help us with these three. First of all, I hear a lot of times, I would do God's will if I knew what it was. How many of you guys have ever heard that or believed that or thought that? I've thought that before. I'd be willing to do what God's will is if I just knew what it was. I'm waiting for him to write it in the sky, or I'm waiting for him to whisper it in my ear, or I'm waiting for him to tell my wife so she could tell me. We've tried that process before. It don't go as well. But anyway, we're going to talk about how we can find things that we absolutely know to be God's will. We can find it in his word. I'll give you a little hint. We'll just jump forward on that one. But the next one that I find oftentimes is I really don't know how to pray. How many of you have ever felt that way? You know, how do I pray? What should it sound like? Should I use certain catchphrases? You know, and if you ever are in a room with people maybe who have been part of, you know, the local body church for a while, they have certain terms that they use, and some people even pray in King James language. Have you ever been around that? Where some people are really into the King James Version of the Bible. King James Version of the Bible is a great version. But whenever they pray, you can always tell whenever they're praying because they're talking in God's native language, the King James language. Not really. But anyway, it does kind of seem that way. And I was intimidated by that as a new Christian. I came to Christ at around 30 years old, and I eventually got into a church, and I hear all these people praying. And it's like, how do I pray? I don't know how to pray. I was almost afraid to pray in private because I might get it wrong. Guys, don't let that stop you. Okay? So I would do God's will if I knew what it was. I don't know how to pray. And then this is the third one, and I probably get this from people that are even a little more mature sometimes. I don't feel like God answers my prayers. How many of you guys have ever heard that or felt that? Okay? And so we're gonna kind of keep those thoughts in mind a little bit, because I think as we look at the scripture and we hear Paul pray, how many of you guys feel like that Paul has the authority to teach us to pray? Okay? And it's even beyond just Paul here. This is scripture, so this was the Holy Spirit inspiring Paul to teach us how to pray. So now here's the deal. You see, when you want to know what God's will is, the first place we need to go is to pray and go to his word, because his word is his will. His word is truth. Do I get an amen to that? All right, so the Holy Spirit through Paul is going to teach all of us, teach us these three. And so in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, for this reason, so what is the reason? It's what we studied last week, that we have this we have the answer to the mystery. And through Christ, we have this boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. It says that in verse 12 there, right before this. And so even in his tribulation, he doesn't want them to get discouraged or lose heart, because it's for them that he has in these tribulations, and which is their glory. And so then he starts into verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it is so important that we understand this is God's will for his church, that we bow our knees in prayer. Okay, so now does that mean that every time I pray, I have got to be on my knees? Does that mean by physical posture, I have to be in that posture? No, obviously not. Because in another place, it talks about we should pray without ceasing, meaning we should always be in a continual state of prayer. And so it's important that we understand what this is talking about is humility. How did they approach a king, an earthly king? By bowing down before him. It was a show of respect and reverence and honor and saying, I am your servant. And so what God wants us to do, and what he's teaching us through his word, as Paul shows us, using this term, bowing our knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are coming to the throne of grace through Jesus. When we pray, I want you to understand, you're not just praying to some general force out there. We're not really sure who he is or what he is, but we're just hoping just somehow that maybe he'll be strong enough to do what we need for him to do. No, you're praying to the Father God. You're praying to the one who created everything. You're praying to the one who sustains everything. You're praying to the one who, if it happens, it's because it either was allowed by him or caused by him. You're praying to the most powerful entity in all of the universe. You're praying to the one who put the everything that we can see, the galaxies in their proper places in orbit. You're praying to the one who put every star where it is, and he named them by name. You're praying to the one who has created every individual that has ever lived on planet Earth. So please know you have access to his throne through Jesus. This is not a small thing. This is not a little thing. This is not something we should ever take for granted. This is something that we should always approach him in reverence and in awe, because he is awesome. And I can tell you, you cannot ask anything too hard that God can't do. Now, it's got to be in his will. You're not going to twist God's arm and make him do anything. Don't even try. But we could humbly, as though we were on our knees before him, approach him through Christ. Jesus is approved. And we come through Jesus. In verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So we're going to answer that question. What is God's will? Well, at least one part of God's will is found here. It is his will that we pray. It is his will that we pray. Do I get an amen from the church this morning? It is his will that we pray. Next slide back there, please. And we find that Jesus speaks to us from Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. And he uses these words, and when you pray. Did you notice he didn't say, and if you pray? And if you'd like to pray? Or whenever you might possibly pray? He says, when you pray. And if you read this passage of Scripture, you will see that phrase repeated at least four times specifically. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Don't pray to try to be impressive to others. You pray because you're accessing the throne of God, and it's his will that you pray. You have access through Jesus Christ, and you pray because he says we should. So, I got married to my wife 37 years ago. She just left the room so I can talk about this more. I'm really thankful. She's like the best thing other than Jesus that's ever happened to me. She actually got to be the one who basically led me to Jesus as well. Isn't that awesome? And so like as I look at that, you know, I think, man, what an awesome relationship that we have. Do you know one of the things that makes our relationship really awesome? It's because we've learned how to do dialogue. Now, not just a monologue. It isn't just she that talks all the time and I never say anything. It's not me that talks all the time and she never says anything. We talk to one another. That's what God wants prayer to be. Because you see, our relationship grows as we learn to talk to one another. And so here's part of prayer that you may not be necessarily aware that you need to do sometimes. You need to talk to God, and then you need to let him talk to you. So one of the necessary elements that you need during your prayer time is one of these. Please, own a Bible. If you don't own a Bible, and you got one of these, you can get the Bible on this. Just make sure you put it in airplane mode, so that the thing won't be giving you all those notifications and distracting you while you're looking at the Bible. Or do something of that nature. But you see, guys, part of the way that God speaks to us, the way it becomes a dialogue, is whenever we read the Word as we pray. And I'm going to say, don't just read the Word after you pray. You have a thing on your heart or a troubled spirit, read the Word before you pray. Because when you read the Word before you pray, then you can pray back God's word to him, because that's God's will. And so as we can see, this shows us that we should pray. We know God's will. So that helps to answer that statement number one. I would do God's will if I knew what it was. Well, at least part of it is that we should pray. So now we're going to try to answer that second statement. I don't know how to pray. So if we don't know how to pray, next slide there, let's just learn from Jesus. Isn't that a great idea? Did you know that Jesus, while he walked on planet Earth, the God-man, fully God, fully man, he prayed? If Jesus prayed, how much more should we? Amen? Because he had perfect communion with God, and yet he still prayed. You know, before he chose his disciples, he actually went up on the mountain and prayed all night. He had an all-night prayer meeting with the Father before he started to choose his disciples. If he needed to pray, if he desired to pray, if he prayed, how much more should we learn to pray? Can I get an amen on that? Come on, I need some help here. All right. We got to have agreement as we go forward. It's so important that we learn how to pray. So let's learn from Jesus. Let's learn from Paul. And as we are, we're learning from the Holy Spirit. Amen? There's so many more that prayed. King David prayed. You can read them in the Psalms. Psalms are a beautiful place to go and pray those back to God for your loved one, for yourself, for others in need. You can pray the Word of God. And then we know that we will have answered prayer. Next slide. Answered prayer. Pray God's will back to him. So some would say, why should I do that? That doesn't even make sense. If God already has a will, why does he want us to even pray? Because he wants to build that relationship through us is at least one reason. He wants us to pray so that we can have the experience of seeing him move. That's why we started out with praise reports. Have we seen God move? Have we seen him answer prayers? Did it make you feel closer to him? Did you experience a closeness with God as you saw it happen? Absolutely. And that's part of the reason why he does that. Another part of the reason is, and just like with your children, if you have children, sometimes we can see what they need, but we wait for them to ask because then they're ready to receive it. Amen? And I think God does that oftentimes. He wants us to be ready to receive what he has in store for us. So we want to pray God's word back to him. And his word literally is his revealed will. So as we look at this, and we look from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, could you all stand as we read these verses together as a passage? Well, I kind of did it backwards this week. I started the message. I'm trying to keep you guessing all the time. And now we're going to read the full passage together. So let's pray as we read. Lord, we are in a prayerful state right now, and we are reading these words of Scripture, and we are going to acknowledge you are speaking to us today through them. And so, Lord, teach us. Starting at verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Thank you, Lord, that this is your will for us, and this is your will that we pray this for one another and for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat now. And as we break this down a little bit more, this is God's will for his people. This is God's will that we pray this for one another. And I want you to know, I have prayed this for you. And I believe it is God's will for him to do this in you. Man, look at the riches that God wants to bestow on us. And as we have prayed this back to him, I pray that he would do this in our lives, and that we would continue to remember to pray this for one another. In Christ, we talked about this. This is the starting part of this, starting point of this great journey. In Christ, we take on the family name. You are a Christian in Christ. You take on the family name. You take on a place in the family of God. And I think that's what it's saying in verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Your name is no longer just your, you know, my name is no longer just John, but my name is John. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a Christian, and I want to be more Christ-like every day. You know, the word Christian means Christ-like. Just simply put. And a lot of times people have all kinds of definitions for Christian. You know, you say, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm an American. America's not looking real Christ-like sometimes, are we? All right, so that's not really the acid test for whether or not you're a Christian. And say, are you a Christian? Yeah, my grandma, man, she really believed. God don't have grandchildren. He only has children. You say, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I joined the church whenever I was 5 years old. Don't necessarily mean you really belong to Christ, right? I've had, you know, that you ask, are you a Christian? I've been in church since before I was born. How many of you can say that? You know, your mama carried you even in her womb, right? But guys, there's got to come a point in time where you surrender to Christ and it becomes your faith. That's what makes us really a Christian. As soon as that happens, you take on the family name. Do you know that there are some of our family that have already died and they are in the presence of God now? There are Christians that are already passed on. I think that's what it's talking about. Guys, in whom the whole family in heaven and the ones who are still here on earth is named by the name of Christ, by the name of Jesus. And in verse 14, he says from that, I'm sorry, in John 14, verses 13 through 14, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you see how this now provides us access to the throne of God? Because now we have the family name, and the family can come before the Father, amen? You see, a lot of people out in public, and they'll be, you see all these little kids running around, you know, at like, say, a fall festival or something, and every one of them saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. I went down to the park yesterday, down to Washington State Park. Kids everywhere down there. They had a fall festival, and I mean kids everywhere, and I could hear kids everywhere saying, Mommy, Daddy. But whenever I heard Emma say, Daddy, it was an entirely different response that I had. Because then I was to attend to her needs personally and immediately. You see, that's how it is for God. He looks to his children. He hears his children in a special way. You have access to his throne because of who you are in him. And as we read in the following verses, here's his will for all believers. And this is kind of where we're going to wrap it all up. Just summing together kind of a summary of what his will. Number one, he wants us to have inner strength according to his riches by the Spirit. He wants us to have inner strength according to whose riches? His riches. Well, I'm going to ask you something. In Christ, how rich is your daddy? Do you know you can call him daddy through Christ? The Bible says that we now have the Spirit to call him Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. How rich is your daddy if your daddy is Father God? He owns it all. And he wants you to be able to have that kind of riches of inner strength. The second thing he wants for us is that Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith. He wants you to be filled with God. He wants your heart to be led and guided by the indwelling of him in us. He's not just God with us. He's God in us whenever you become a Christian. You want to know why? After you become a Christian and you do some of those things you used to do and never even think twice about, all of a sudden it bothers you? and you begin to be very troubled by those old sins that you used to live in and not even think twice about, it's because God now lives in you, and he's not going to let you continue to live like that. So that's not other people's judgment on you that's causing you to feel that way. It's the fact that God lives in you, and he ain't going to tolerate it anymore. You want to see somebody that's really miserable? Somebody that continues to spurn the work of the Holy Spirit who lives in their heart. You'll be a miserable, miserable person. You know what you need to do whenever God convicts your spirit over something that you're doing or involved in your life, or even thoughts that you may be having? You need to repent, and you need to live according to that one who dwells in us, and that he would dwell in us richly. You know, we're talking about that whole marriage thing. We've been married 37 years. You know, for part of that time, in those 37 years, we didn't always dwell together richly. That can be a struggle sometimes. Amen? Come on now, let's all be honest. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. But here's the thing. Whenever we stop butting heads with one another, stop feeling like the other person was the enemy, started trying to do what we could to build the other person up rather than insisting that I be built up, stop looking at what she could do for me and more of what, I mean, what can I do to try to make this a better relationship? I can tell you, we dwell much more richly together now in our home. You know, one of the things that transformed our life the quickest is when we began to pray together and read the Bible together. It solved a whole lot of arguments. And sometimes we even argued about what it said. And we've actually realized that neither one of us are really the perfect judge on that matter. And so whenever we begin to do that now, we just stop and pray. And we trust that God can lead both of us. If he lives richly in me and he lives richly in her, then I don't think we should view either one as the enemy. There's another enemy coming from somewhere else that's trying to separate us. And so let's fight him together. That would be a lot better choice, wouldn't it? And so like, he wants Christ to dwell in your hearts by faith richly. He wants you to be filled with God. So stop fighting against what God's trying to do in your life and start moving with him. And it's his will that we would be rooted and grounded in love. Now, whenever you're feeling conflict or you're feeling dissatisfaction somewhere, or you're beginning to feel some type of tension in your heart over a particular, maybe relationship or something that you're doing or something that you feel dissatisfied about, I want you to ask yourself, am I feeling this way out of, a true foundation of love? Or am I feeling this way out of a foundation of selfishness? And as we begin to ask those questions inside, not somebody else coming and asking us, because that doesn't work very well, does it? But just be willing to ask that question yourself. It'll transform your life. It'll begin to transform all the relationships around you, even if that other person doesn't change very much at first, because you're changing and you're becoming more like Christ. And I can tell you, when you change, everything else around you will begin to change. You can't force anybody else to change, but you can let God work on you. And as you do that, it is amazing how God will begin to change even those around you and change relationships that you have. Do I get an amen to this? I feel like I'm standing alone up here. Everybody got really quiet. I just need to be willing to ask myself this tough question. Is the way I'm feeling rooted and grounded in love right now? And if it's not, then it's me that needs to change, not everybody else. And then it's his will that we would comprehend and know the love of Christ. You see, as I'm wondering, like, am I really feeling love right now? Am I really living out love? Am I rooted and grounded in love? Just imagine how much you are loved. It is an amazing thing to begin to comprehend, to know the love of Christ. And if you doubt whether or not God loves you, I want you to look at the cross. I want you to never forget what he did for you. And while he hung on that cross naked and people railing insults at him and him taking on the sin of the world, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they're doing." I had somebody tell me, well, they didn't know that when they, you know, they didn't know that really hurt him when they drove those nails in his hands. Oh, nonsense. They knew they were hurting him. They just didn't know just exactly that that was God in the flesh that they were doing it to. They didn't know the ramifications of what they were doing. And yet, he still said, forgive them. You didn't know that when you decided to rebel in the beginning of your life, that it was what was responsible for the death of Christ, did you? When you decided to go ahead and follow that temptation and do that sin that you were involved in forever how many years or whatever it is that maybe you're still dealing with, did you know that it actually hurt Jesus so bad that he had to die? You see, I didn't know that. In ignorance, I thought I was like this autonomous thing. And then I want to say, one night I asked Jesus. I was just beside myself. My wife was following Jesus. I wasn't. We were drifting apart. It looked like our marriage was going to end. And I said, Jesus, are you really the only way? If you are, I got to know it. And you know what he did? It was totally unexpected. He convicted me of my sin. I just began to weep because I saw that he loved me so much he was willing to die for me. Not just for those people that lived back then, oh man, that seems so far away, 2,000 years ago, but for me personally. And as I began to experience that kind of love, I'm telling you, it transformed my heart. It began a process that I'm still in, and I'll be in until the day Jesus comes back. And I began to experience what it meant to really be rooted and grounded in love, because then I began to comprehend and know the love of Christ. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a forever experience. His love is so big, I'm never going to be able to get a total handle on it, because he's awesome. And that's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves that person that you thought was your enemy. He loves them. You need to let God show you. And then, out of all that, he wants us to be filled with the fullness of God. Do you think that you've achieved that yet? Do you think you're finished? It's going to be a continual process until the day you go to be with Jesus. Let's desire to be part of that process. Amen? Because it's God's will. Now that you know God's will, you can do it. Not in your own human strength, but it's a matter of you surrendering your will to God and letting him do it through you. So let me pray for you, and we're going to open the altar, and there may be some folks that just feel overwhelmed and need to come up and pray. If you do, do it. Just do it. Don't think about the implications. You know, I used to do it, and I had my whole family went to church at the same place, and I worked with my dad, 6 days a week, and then we'd come to church on Sunday, and I'd feel this need sometimes to go forward and pray, and then I'd think, no, I'm not going to do it, because if I do it, he's going to be asking me what I go forward for. So finally, God just overwhelmed me one day, and he said, you get up there and pray. You need to humble yourself. And I did. I went forward, and Monday came around, Dad climbed in the truck, and we started. I didn't even get out of the driveway. And he goes, what were you up there for? You've been doing stuff we need to know about. And I said, I didn't go up there to talk to you, Dad. With all, you know, with every bit of respect, I was up there talking to God. And if I would have thought you needed to know, I would have shared it with you. I was actually praying for him. Don't tell him. No, he knows now. He's in heaven. But anyway, here's the thing, guys. However God leads you, just do it. Let's pray. Father, our hearts are open to you this morning. I sense that your spirit is working in this room. Father, I prayed for this congregation throughout the week as I prepared this message. I prayed back this prayer that I find in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. I prayed it for this congregation that would be here today. And Father, this is your will for them, and this is your will that I pray for them. And this is your will that they pray for one another. And this is your will that we surrender to you so that you can fill us. Sometimes I'm afraid we are so filled with ourselves and our own desires and our own thoughts and our own interests and our own habits and hurts and hang-ups and all that stuff that we can't recognize your filling in our lives. So, Lord, here's my prayer, is that you will so fill us that it will purge everything else out. So God, fill us with your holiness this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.